Man, this is the most special Co-World podcast I've ever done. I finally got my little brother on with me. We talked for so long, like 2 hours. So I split it up, and I'm splitting it up into a few different shows. You should really enjoy it. This is a side of me that you probably will never, ever see. This dude knows me better than anybody else. Tried to find the right bump of music, stuff that was, you know, planned during our heyday growing up in North Oakland. But it's a different side of Charles. There's a lot of the flaws and just a lot of the realness of who I am. I'm definitely the dude that you talk to every week. That talks to you about like his love for education, his love for traveling and for kids and stuff like that. But this is a different side of me, both of me. But wanted to be really authentic. So hope you all enjoy it. Where's my bumper music? Pull your strap on me, nigga. You better kill me. Thug life, baby. I'll probably be punished for hard living. Blind to the facts. Thugs is convicts in God's prison. Hands on the strap. Praying so Father, please forgive me. Police be rushing when they see me. I flaunt it. America's most wanted. Live on TV like pleasure and pain. Stuck in this game. Holler my name. We all gon' die. We bleed through similar veins. Please explain to me now. Don't panic when my guns burst. Heard the last jam, nigga. This one's worse.
What's up, everybody? You are listening to the Cold World Podcast. This is a special show. I've been trying to get this Negro on the show for a minute. I know he don't listen to the podcast because after all the stuff I said about him in the last one, he wouldn't have came. I talked about him bad. My little brother is here. I mean, he faked on me last time, but it's all good. It's all love. He got, you know, he's a family man now. But my little brother, my best friend since I moved to California, William Jackson. What's up, man?
It was good, man. You know, had to come hang out with Big Bruh.
Yeah, no. Hey, listen. You know? So I know you listen to one show. It's cool. It's all good. It's all love. You know what I'm saying?
You get that feedback. You can tell what I listen to.
Negro, tell the truth, shame the devil, my dude. Like, it's all good, bro. You a busy man. You know, you too busy to push play in the car while you're driving the kids back and forth. I got you, is what I'm saying. So Will and I have been knowing each other since I moved to North Oakland. He's been my best friend since. We growing up in North Oakland was a real interesting, real interesting experience for us. one of our fellow North Oakland folks is in the news a whole lot. I'm giving props to Marshawn. I think. I mean, I didn't grow up with him per se.
That's actually who I thought you were talking about.
Oh, I mean, with Stan, you know, Mr. Fab. Who else?
I was thinking about Antoine.
Nah, we not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my cousin.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
We said in the news. I mean, you know,
he has not been in the news lately. He was in the news before.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, we are definitely products in North Oakland. But I've been wanting to get you on. So basically, there's no other person on earth that knows me as well as you do. Since we were kids, like growing up together, sharing outfits all the way to.
Man, you just gonna make me sound dusty like
I mean,
that.
We was dusty, bro.
Like, your fans don't know me like
we was dusty, bro. I
mean, I'm just saying, bro. Like,
I mean,
you know, could we.
It's all good.
To try to approach that? I mean,
it's all good. But the good thing about you being on a podcast, like, I can't, like, I can't misremember or miscollect pieces of information because you was there. So, right. You know what I'm saying? So I think we should, let's just talk about where we grew up a little bit and like maybe some of those escapades. I don't know, man. What's the biggest thing that sticks out, I guess, about growing up in North Oakland for you, man? Like, what?
I remember my introduction, our introduction to homosexuality.
Come on, man.
I just thought it was interesting. I remember the video Jordan brought through.
You naming people?
I hope you're not listening. I should have said that. We had a homie one time. We was playing basketball at the park. And we had a homie that came through one day. He was like, hey, I got this video that I want y'all to see. I got it under my brother's bed. And so, you know, at the time, we must have been maybe, what, 12, 13, maybe we was hooping at Stanford. Was it Stanford we was hooping at?
No, the Creek.
Okay, we was at the Creek. We was somewhere, you know, balling. And I never forget. I remember like it was yesterday. I remember not to say nobody's name tomorrow. I don't want to get nobody in no trouble.
I mean, I don't think nobody getting in trouble on that one. It was just... Anyway,
I don't want nobody running up on the car, you know, listening to the Cold World podcast. But the homie came through and said, "Hey, I got this video. I found it under my brother's bed." So it was like, "All right, go, you know, what is it? Like, you know, let's go to your house, Will, and watch it." You know, we all used to post it in my house. And yeah, the contents of that tape was, I mean, this G-rated.
It's I mean, we don't curse on it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the contents of that tape was rather inappropriate for a group of young men.
Well, this is the thing, right? But this is the funny thing. Like, so, one, like, the way that they try to take, like, sex education out of, like, school. You can't... If we was probably getting sex education the appropriate way, one, we probably wouldn't have been at... I mean, when I say it was a group of... What were we, like, 11? How old were we?
I'm going to say maybe 12 or 13.
So, it was, like, 12 or 13 years old. Middle school age, definitely. Yeah, yeah. And, like, one of our friends is, like... He got this video, like this porn, like none of up until that point, I don't think any of us had ever seen like a porno or nothing like that. I had neither, right? And so we are like, so all of us, it's like a group of us. We stop playing basketball, and we go to Will's house because Will's mom worked, and to like watch this video. And so we like watching this video, and it's like. It starts off like a scenario. I think it was like a boxing scenario.
I remember how it started off. But go ahead.
I think it was like a boxing scenario. Okay. And then like things just wasn't like adding up to like the experience that we was trying to like wait for and watch. And then it was like a dude, another dude entered the scene. And then they did what gay dudes do. Now, this is the thing, right? Like growing up in the hood, like I'm much older now.
Yeah.
Like. Just the homophobia that we had, like, at that, like, listen, when you grow up in, like, the way we grew up in North Oakland, like, in hip-hop culture,
yeah,
the biggest...
It's taboo, yeah.
Yeah, not even just the biggest taboo, like, if you, like, trying to diss another rapper, you would diss him by basically trying to, like, call him a woman, yeah, or, like, yeah, or, like...
Target his manhood.
Target his manhood, his masculinity. Like, that's what we was, like, that's the mindset that we had. And so... What this is the part that was like scandalous though, right? So the part that's scandalous is like that's our homie and was like so he told us before we watched the video where the video came from.
It put that relationship under pressure, didn't it?
Well, so he put basically he stole the tape from his under his big brother's bed. And I don't think at that point his brother was out. Like, I don't think that had, like...
Nah, that wasn't a thing back then.
Exactly, yeah, right?
That was not like, a thing back then. Like you weren't just out. You weren't just,
exactly,
you know...
Exactly, right? I mean, now, like, if you... Like, it's just nothing is now. What it is. It like, is it's out now, there yeah. in the world. But for, like, a group of 8 to 10 boys between the ages of 11 and 13, and for that to be, like, your brother at that moment, like, it's...
And for the homie to find out about his brother like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he
that
found
was,
out.
That was I know that was heartbreaking. I don't think he ever recovered from that.
I don't know, man. We just have never. Well, kids are cruel, so we did. I don't want to say we never talked about it again. We talked about it a lot then.
We talked about it a lot then.
Yeah. I mean, but you know,
keep mind, this a long time ago.
I mean, my sister's a lesbian. It is what it is. Oh, you didn't know this?
Oh, okay.
Yes, China is. I go to her Facebook page. Like it just. It just is what it is.
I'm not judging. Hey, you know, get it how you live.
I mean, it's yeah. kind of like, I mean, I don't know, right? It's, I mean.
Wow.
I thought you knew that.
How would I have known that?
I know, right?
I don't do the Facebook. I don't do that's the true. Twitter that's and true. The Instagram.
Yeah, you've survived all this time without being on. Why don't you tell people about you? They know all about me. Tell them about you just briefly, like, where you was born, where you grew up. Like to this point, just real quick, and then we'll go into details about that.
To be honest, I don't know how to start. Well, North Oakland to the Gristle, 54th and Gaskill. Yeah, you know, I came up in a 2-bedroom apartment with Pam Jackson, which is my mom, And me and her have a rather tumultuous relationship. As a matter of fact, we on the rocks right now for some stuff I think is relatively foul. But just kind of give you an upbringing. Like, you know, Moms was the ex-Panther, and, you know, she was, you know, big on the revolution and, you know, all of that stuff, you know, and she was real radical. Just to give you an example of how radical she was, like, one of her lessons to teach me about responsibility, right? And Charles loved his story. He loved to tell it every time we out in public or any opportunity he get to embarrass me. This is the story he tells. So I'm going to beat him to the punch right now. I'm going to tell the story.
Eminem, this ain't 8 Mile.
I'm just saying, like, just to give you an example of how radical she is in the way I was brought up. She was mad one day that I didn't wash dishes. So, in an attempt to show me the importance of washing dishes and following instructions.
To be fair, she told you to wash dishes a lot.
She told me to wash dishes, but at the time.
You didn't always wash dishes.
Hey, listen, I'm a parent now. I got two kids myself. I get it. But to teach me this lesson, what she did is after a long day of football practice, by the way, shout out to McClyman's high school football. You know, I don't know if they're doing their thing right now, but, you know, that was the year we won the Super Bowl. One of the first years we won the Super Bowl back in 2002. And, you know, after a long day of football practice and work, I was working at Old Navy. I walked in the house. And I went to the kitchen. I was like, okay, well, you know, nobody, you know, they wash the dishes. They, you know, they must realize I'm being responsible. And, you know, and they took care of it for me. Sure enough, I go to lay down in the bed. And Charles with me. And all the dishes is in my bed.
Well, you weren't going to, it was still daytime. You weren't going to lay down. You just like
was,
went in
it,
the room.
It was after football practice, though.
Yeah, it wasn't nighttime. It was daytime.
I think I was, okay.
Your bed was just a little rocky.
Yeah, it was real rocky. I mean, she had the common courtesy to, like, to pull the covers up over it. Like, I guess so. So that way, you know what I'm saying? So that way, you know, you just it wouldn't be such an eyesore. So you had to peel back the covers to know that all the dishes and the spaghettis and the dirty water and sauce was all in your bed, you know. So that's just a, you know, example of how radical she was, man, you know. But I learned from it. I think it made me a better man. But I'm a goofy dude, man. I'm a nutcase, man. You know, I really am. You know, I got a feeling that, you know, some things probably slip out throughout the duration of this podcast. So I got Charles censoring me right now. But yeah, man, I'm an easygoing dude. I got two kids, man. You know, I spent some time in the military. You know, I got some really interesting stories, and I learned a lot. You know, in the Army through my tours to Iraq and, you know, parts of Afghanistan and Kuwait. You know, and throughout the Middle East. You know, so you know, at some point in time, I hope I get a chance to share that with your viewers, man. You know, but other than that, ain't much to it, you know? Oh, I'm better at Charles. I'm better than Charles at pretty much everything.
Is that right?
No, like literally, like pretty much everything. it sucks. Like, I kind of feel bad for him. So, like, I went through identity crisis for years, man, where I was letting this dude win at a bunch of stuff, man.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, I kind of felt bad that, you know, like, you know, that I was so much better. Yeah, you know, I felt like he needed to have something for his self-esteem. I didn't want him to, you know.
Interesting. Yeah. So all my self esteem today I owe to you is what you're saying.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna say that. I mean, I wasn't gonna say that. But, I mean, you know, I'll accept that.
So then there's also the stint of my life. One, there's the stint of my life when I went into college, and Will got to experience that first year of college. We don't need to talk about that.
Why we don't need to talk about it?
I mean, I'm just saying it was a good year. And then
it was an outstanding year.
There was a time.
It was a fantastic year.
There was a time, right when you got out of the service. That we lived together. We lived together. We were roommates for
Parkside Commons. Shout out to Parkside Commons in San Leandro, man. Hey, we love the people down there, man. It was really, really free and interesting period of our lives. You know?
I mean, it was a. We definitely enjoyed ourselves. So back to, like, growing up in North Oakland. So I mean, and we would be remiss. Before we even, like, really jump into this conversation, I talk about him a lot, and I know that he meant a lot to you as well. Should have definitely been a better friend, but to remember our friend Donald/Tank, like, we all kind of grew up together. Tank is no longer with us. If he was here, it would be great to have him being on these stories.
This would be cool for him to be here.
This would definitely be cool.
This would be real cool.
But Tank, we love you. We miss you. A lot of what I do and how I do it when I'm addressing schools or education, like, I think about it and try to make sure that, from my perspective, that you didn't pass away in vain. I know you and Will has your own, like, special relationship. I let Will say whatever it is that he like to say.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. You know, is this the college army trap thing?
I mean, not really. I mean, I've talked about that a little bit before. Yeah.
Just that contrast, like, you know, like, and I think we needed that. You know, you know, I don't know if I want to call you the academic. Yeah, you know what? I think that's fair. I think that's fair. When we was younger, everybody had their identity. Like, everybody had their identity. And I think it's fair that you was the academic one. You know, like, you were always the one, like, okay, I got to study. Like, you know, I mean, even though you were good in sports and things like that, I don't think we ever identified you as, like, a hooper. The same way that I don't think I was ever identified as, like, an academic or a hooper. Like, I was always kind of, like, the goofball, like the funny one, the free one that'd say the most ridiculous, reckless stuff imaginable. You know, we had our tough guys, you know, I'm not gonna say no names, you know, but Tank, you know, he was just kinda, he was different. He wasn't any of that. You know, he wasn't any of that. He had his own space in that circle, you know. So we definitely missed the homie, man, and you know, we wish he was here. And looking back at it now, it'd be really awesome to have this type of conversation with him around, and I just realized that.
It would be, man. And it would probably be a lot funnier because he used to terrorize us. he just did. And but I mean, but I'm proud of you, though. Like, I think, you know, the three tours and of duty. But I think the biggest surprise, maybe it's not the biggest surprise. Like, when we were younger, I was the one that was kind of in relationships. You know what I'm saying? Now, you the one that's married with kids. And so, you have a beautiful family.
Thank you, Charles.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to your wife.
Tread lightly. She's listening. She's listening. So.
That's sis, man. Hey.
Okay.
That's, you know, that is my sister now. Okay. I'm just saying what I'm saying.
She ain't my sister. I hit it.
I just think if we could revisit 18 or maybe even 20, I would say 16 through 18, I think that people would have thought that would have been reversed.
Yeah, like if we was in the hot tub time machine and we went back to it was 2000.
I graduated high school 2001, you 2002.
Yeah, so if we go back, 2000, 2001. You definitely would have been the one married with kids. And I would have been running them streets. Hey, what'd I do? it would have been a different. I still wonder how it turned out like that.
I was
you're just selfish. That's what it is.
Nah, that's true. I'm not going to act like I'm not. Listen, so this is the thing, right? It depends on what day you ask me.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying, listen, I think that I would be a great father. I think that God put me on this earth to be a pops.
That's fair.
I think I'd be a great dad.
I think you'd be awesome dad.
And maybe
I think you would emphasize on academics and...
I would. Discipline, and academics, like, work.
I don't think you'd be a fun dad. We all work. I don't think you'd be a fun dad at all, though.
I would definitely be a fun dad.
No, I think in retrospect, I think at the end of the day, when your kids are well structured and they, you know, are physics and calculus majors, you know, I think, you know, a lot of that stuff would translate. But I don't think that you would be a very fun dad.
What made you think it'd be like physics and calculus majors? I wasn't a physicals guy. I was a political science. I was a political science major.
Don't take it personal. I'm not saying you would be a good dad. I just can't picture you being a fun dad. Like, I can't picture your kids like, oh my God, like, my dad's so fun. I think it'd be like, my dad's really together. My dad's really together.
He makes me read every night.
Yeah, he makes me read every night. You know, like, you know, I think your kids would know the times tables at like 3.
I mean,
you know, which is a good thing.
Listen, bro, education is the key out of the trap for a lot of kids.
It really is.
Me.
It really is.
Like,
so don't take that the wrong way. I don't think that's a bad thing.
I'm not. You know, yeah. But I think it depends on what day you ask me. But then, this is the thing. I've been out of a relationship for so long. Mm-hmm. Looking back, and we're not saying no names, but.
No, please.
I don't want no text messages from none of these people. So. But like looking back, right? Like that relationship from that high school relationship that you knew, mm-hmm. where it was, it was set up for us to like be high school sweethearts and like get married.
Well, that's what
and
it all was. That stuff, that's
right?
What it was. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Like, but I mean, my most serious relationship, bro, happened between the ages of 16 and 20. Like, and then like I had relationships after that, like that's the thing, right? I had like these like relationships, but I mean, I don't know, man. But my life would be so different. I just don't know if the drive would have been there. I think that my drive, I enjoy.
Well, let me tell you,
singleness.
For one, let me tell you, I can speak.
You can speak to this.
I can speak to this, right? Women do something to drive.
What is that?
I mean, they do something to drive, man. I think it's fair to say that had you been married with kids, then you wouldn't be inclined to pursue certain avenues for your personal growth. You know, and I think that's a fair statement, right? You know, that in the event that you would engage in that wholeheartedly and you didn't, you know, butcher that situation the way that you did, right? Like, we ain't got to go into details. But you
butchered it?
You kind of, you know what, that's not even
I was
fair.
A kid. I was a kid, man.
We was young. But, you know, you was kind of heartless, you know.
Come on, man. Heartless?
I'm not judging, Charles. I'm just saying, it was.
You wasn't there for the end.
I'm familiar with what happened. I know the circumstances surrounding what happened. And
that's true.
Charles, you're a meanie.
Listen, this is the thing, right? Like, so there are some days I'm like, yo, I want to do this marriage thing. I want to be like a dad.
Right.
And like, I see you with your kids, and it's beautiful. And like, I see Milan with his kids and Alec with his girls. It's like, oh, that's a beautiful thing. But like, I can do the kids. I got patience for kids. I just don't have patience for adults like that. I get frustrated really quickly. Like, I'm just saying. You just got more patience than me. You know what's funny?
No. It's not patience, Charles. It's called accepting the loss. It's not patience.
But listen to that. Why would I want to do that?
You know what? And if I'd known better, then I wouldn't.
Tread lightly? What?
I'm just saying. I mean, you know, like, I mean, it's a lot of things you don't know going through that circumstance.
Hey, sis, this is not me saying, I think you're the best thing that happened.
Hey, she know what time it is. I'm going to grab my stuff, man, and act like a man while I'm on this radio. You're not going to emasculate me on the radio. Know what I'm saying? Anyway, nah, you know, all jokes aside, man, you know, I mean, she knows it. I love my wife to death, but she know that. We got married under certain pretenses, and you know it ain't no secret that they get you and whoosh, got him. You know, and it's you trapped, man. It's a trap, bro. Don't do it, bro. It's a trap. Nah, I'm playing. I love her to death, man. It's probably one of the best things that ever happened to me, and it was out of necessity. Like, I mean, you know, it kind of forced you to grow up in an area where you don't necessarily really want to, man. But you know, If you ain't never been in that space, man, you know, it's a lot of things that you might not necessarily be familiar with, you know, but it's not a bad thing, you know, it's just different.
I get to, my house just, it stays clean. When it's not, I have somebody, it gets cleaned. I mean, I'm single. I can spend the $8 on my awesome clean lady.
We can do the contrast, right?
I'm just saying.
So I can have kids wash dishes.
I mean, you can, but it's still probably gonna be food stuck on them. They ain't better than anyway.
But I'm not doing it.
So, okay,
you know
that's cool. I'm just saying, like, you know what it is. And you have a beautiful family, beautiful. I love your kids.
You keep saying beautiful, man. They're beautiful kids.
They're beautiful kids. But when I walk into your house, every time I walk in your house, it's just like it's just marker on the wall.
Yeah, Picasso.
Why is it still marker? Like I can't.
Hey, he was exploring his artistic side.
And you just gonna leave it there,
bruh? I mean, because he'll just do it again. So like, you gotta let you know. I mean, I think all the stuff.
But I'm good. But you know, that's kid stuff. And I think, and your wife is cool.
Does that bother you?
No, that don't bother me. Kids don't bother me. Kids are fine. I have patience for children. I can. I've worked with kids. My entire career, I've worked with kids in some capacity. You know that. Like, you lived with me while I was a social worker. Yeah. I do that. It's adults, man. It's like women. It's like if I get like a text message that's crazy in the middle of the day, I don't have patience. I just don't do it. I don't know. Well, anyway, we can get off of that subject, but I don't know. But you know what? Maybe tomorrow I'll be in a different place.
Feel like it'll change tomorrow?
No, but no, it might. I don't know. It just depends. It depends on when you ask me. But like, So there was a point in our time when we, like, the only time that we've kind of lived apart or away from each other was when I was in college and you was in the service.
Right.
And so, like, let's talk about, I want to talk about those collective spaces. So you did get to spend a year with me at college. This is where me adding value to your life.
Ah, here we go.
I'm just saying, you got the college experience without having to pay a dime. That's fair.
You know what? I'll concede that.
You was a college student.
I'll concede that. You was
16, 17, chilling.
Yeah. Is that what we gonna call it?
Chilling? That's all we gonna call it. Just chilling.
Right, okay.
I was
chilling.
You was chilling on
college. Yeah, that man. That, you know what, dude? That's probably arguably one of the. But it's a few marquee moments, man. But that was a good time.
This the thing though, right? Like, you know, like we was influenced by rappers like our entire lives, influenced by music and stuff like that. But real talk, like, live the life of a rapper.
They talk about, yeah.
Like the things that people are rapped about, like we's kind of doing like 18. So, I mean, bro, I put like the hood on when I went to college. Like, it wasn't like Charles was going to college. It was like North Oakland was going to college. I'm just saying, yeah, right?
It was a terrible experience.
Right? It's like, oh, we about to go up to like Charles' spot. And like, oh, I don't know how things that happened on the hill made it all the way back to North Oakland.
Yeah, sometimes really inappropriate things made it back to North
Oakland. I don't know how I made it back to North Oakland. But then you went, you know, one of the reasons I fight so hard for education is like, I think that you actually was a decent student at Mac and you worked hard and you went through the process of applying to school and Mac didn't do the things they need to do as a school, so you didn't get into school, and then you decided that you was gonna go and dodge bullets. So, I mean, that's what you did, but you like fought for our country valiantly, and you did 3 tours, which is a lot of tours. Like, tell us about that, just a little bit about that experience of fighting for this country and traveling the world. I mean, whichever one you want to talk about.
You know what? I wouldn't take it back for nothing, man. That was a really fun period, man. It's a really interesting period. I learned a lot. I grew up in the service, man. You know, it was a culture shock. You know, up until that point, I had never been away from home. Like, we'd done the trips to, you know, the family reunions in Texas and, you know, trips to Disneyland. But as far as, hey, this is your life away from, you know, comfort and normality, that was the first for me. And it's really shocking, man, because I found out that they didn't, you know, in other parts of the world, man, the other parts of the country weren't as diverse and they weren't as fond of black people. And I found that to be really interesting. I'm sure I ain't got to tell, you know, nobody. I mean, whatever you imagine about Kentucky and parts of Tennessee is probably true, right? You know, you liable to see one of them boys riding around in a pickup truck with a Confederate flag, waving a Confederate flag with a shotgun, talking about, where you going, boy? You know,
it's funny with that, because, like, I tell my students all the time, right? It would be like we, you know, all my students grew up in California for the most part. So it'd be like, oh, like, what if a white person like calls you nigga? And they'd be like, oh, I do this and I do that.
Sound good.
Yeah.
I'm
gonna need you to be at the back row.
Hey, listen, I'll show you what fear look like, bro. Walk one down one of them. First of all, they ain't got no sidewalks down there.
Because you was stationed in Fort Campbell.
Fort Campbell was on the Kentucky Tennessee border, but you know, it wasn't too far from Paducah, Louisville, you know, St. Louis was up north, you know, Virginia was, you know, a couple hours east. And they call it the gateway to the Midwest, man. And whatever you want to get to, ain't but a 4-hour drive away. I'm talking about Atlanta, you name it. And I'm from California. I'm from a city, a metropolis. You know, like we had San Francisco. Like Berkeley has been voted one of the most radical cities in the country.
Oakland is the most diverse city in the country right now, of a report that just came out.
Yeah, I mean, we got all walks of life here, but that's not the case in some of them parts, man. But you know, I grew up, man. I learned a lot, man. I had a lot of fun, you know. And I got an opportunity to kind of make the people around me proud, man. You know, and honestly, I wouldn't take it back for nothing, man. You know?
Yeah, it's interesting how we turned out. I think that, like, when we look at our collection of friends and just the different decisions that folks made, I mean, I don't know. I think the fact that we kind of had each other, we had, like, our group, I think our parents, and so we had a weird dynamic with our parents. So Will didn't like his mama, and I didn't like my parents. But
I didn't like her? Is that a fair statement?
You didn't like your mama.
Did you like your dad?
I just said I ain't like my parents.
Okay, okay.
I put it like this. Like is a wrong word. I love my, like, we loved our parents, but like so Will's mom is a big reason why I went to college. Like, she took me on like those college tours. She took me to like, she all my black radical, like all those ideologies and stuff, like, she was able to dump and pour all that stuff into me.
Your pops traded, or, you know, well, not traded, but, you know, he told me a lot of, you know, military stories and, you know.
Yeah, y'all had conversations me and him ain't never had. Like, y'all just have a bond that me and him don't have. So, I mean, I think that it was interesting. I think God puts people in your life for different reasons. And it was so.
So true. Very true.
So, I think that that's interesting, right? Like, just how we grew up and the environment that we grew up in and, like, just the decisions that our friends made, and it's just really interesting. On sometimes you look and say, like, yo, we got lucky, and sometimes it's like, yo, no, we worked. But I think it's a combination of both. I'm just saying, some of our friends have, like, 8 kids and counting is what I'm saying. Like this is like, real. These are, like, things that have happened. Like, we have friends that have been popped. We got friends that have gone to jail. Like, my own flesh and blood, my cousin, is, like, turned out to be, like, a crazy person. I love him, but he's just a crazy person. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, he's I'm not gonna say a bunch of things on record, but I mean, like, the environment that we grew up in, how we ended up was definitely not statistically the way in which we were supposed to end up. I don't know. I think when we reflect a lot, we be like, yo, it must have been something in that water, because
that's what we're saying. Something in the water, so definitely something in that North Oakland water, man. And I can't explain it. I can't explain it. You know, maybe, you know. Like you said, maybe you just God put people in your life for certain reasons, man. Certain concepts, certain ideas, certain things in your life for certain reasons, man. You know, because your dad was a large part, you know, reason, you know, for me going into the military. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he gave me a lot of good information, you know, on there. And to be honest, it was so long ago. I don't even know. Like, I think I might have even brought the recruiter at the time by to meet him.
I don't know.
I may have.
I don't know, because you didn't tell me you was going until you was gone. So I don't
know. That's not true. I told you.
No, you did. You made the decision. And then it was like, oh, I signed up already.
That's not how that went.
Yeah, you was going to fight the white man's war.
and just so you know, that's Pam Jackson talking right there.
I'm just
there.
Saying, like, that's what happened.
That's my mom talking right there.
I'm just saying, that's probably what she said. I just, you know, I wasn't mad at you. I come from a military family. That's just not the route that I ended up taking. So I think, that, you know, I mean, we talk about that. But
there have been moments where you reflected on that and said, you know, that, you know, there were instances where you wish you would have gone with me when I went.
Little bit. I think, so the reason why I said I wish I had gone, because I took the ASVAB and I scored really high. Yeah. Like, I took the SAT, I didn't score so high. But I took the ASVAB, it's like, bro, you can do, like, nuclear.
You do anything.
You can do whatever you want. And it's like, oh, snap. Like, maybe I should, like, do that. You know what I'm saying?
The devil worshipping horses, sex, human sacrifices, cannibalism, candles and exorcism, animals having sex with them, camels, mammals and rabbits, but I don't get into that, I kick the habit, I just beat you to death with weapons that eat through the flesh, and I never eat you unless the fucking meat looks fresh. I got a lion in my pocket, I'm lying, I got a 9 in my pocket, and baby I'm just dying, the cock of me's ready for war, I'm ready for war, I got machetes and swords for any faggot that said he was raw. My Uzi's heavy as yours, yeah, you met me before, I just didn't have as large an arsenal of weapons before. Marshal, step in the door, I lay your head on the floor, with your body spread on the bedspread, red on the wall.